Were you liked in high school? Yes? You're not a weird girl. Okay, have you been over-medicated or under-medicated for the entirety of your life? No? You're not a weird girl. Okay, have people asked you, oh my God, are you on drugs when you were just being yourself? You're not the weird girl. Guess what? I'm one of them too. No, you're not. F*** off.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I need to be fully honest here. I do know Paco from Maracay. Oh. It's a little awkward. But having said that,
I owe him $60. I'm not going to tell you what for, but just tell Paco to calm down.
Okay. I'll talk to Paco. I'll text him on my WhatsApp chat after this.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
To the commercial break. I'm Brian Green, and this is the engineer of our Grand Funk Railroad, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Hi, Brian.
Round two.
We just did a really nice episode of the commercial break that you'll never hear, and neither will we, because we didn't record it.
We're just warming up.
It used to happen every other episode. Doesn't happen that often anymore because I have Chrissy's also checking. She's like, I don't trust Brian. Let me check and make sure that's recording. But somehow we both missed it. But anyway, whatever. You know, part and parcel of working here at the commercial break.
Aye, Brian.
So, you know, it's time for the kiddos to have their little parent-teacher conferences. I don't know if I shared this with you. I think I mentioned a couple days ago we had to go to the parent-teacher conferences at the school.
I know, and I'm always wondering, because I haven't done many of these, do you get a little twinge of... of nervousness?
I do. I find that
as
I do,
you walk
but
in?
I think it has nothing to do.
I think they're good. Yeah. I think they're good.
Well, and here's what the kid, we walk in. This is what we find ourselves doing. We walk in and they're like, oh my God, they're so great. He's so great. She's so great. They're awesome. And we're like, are you sure? Right. They're not like throwing anybody from the top bunk off down onto the floor. They're not gouging each other's eyes out. No one's spitting out food or yelling and screaming and uncontrollably because that's what's happening at the house.
Right.
So what we find, it's like a therapy session going on in there. We're like, but does she set anybody else's hair on fire? No, because she's done that twice to her little sister already this week. And they're like, no.
We haven't seen that. Should we be looking for that?
Yeah, should we be looking for that? Well, you don't have lighters here, do you? I'll keep the gasoline away from that one. And then the other thing, like I've heard this about parenting before, which is if they're good outside the house and bad inside the house, you're doing a good job of parenting them. That means they feel safe inside the house.
That means that just makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Actually.
That means that someone on Instagram made that up.
You're doing a good job.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. There is so much shitty parenting information on Instagram. I can't even believe it. It's like everybody thinks they're an expert because they had a kid one time. And they, you know, try this trick. Work like a charm. We try those tricks and they never work like a charm. They just aggravate the child even more. That's all they do. That's all it does. So we go in and, you know, they have like, they don't have report cards, but they got like these progress reports. You know, X's if they're being observed, like writing in, you know, full sentences or whatever, and O's if they're not being observed doing that. And so, they've got mostly X's all the way down the line, so we got nothing to complain about. And the kids are good. They are really our wonderful children.
They really are.
Just not with me.
I mean, it's not 24 hours.
No, not 24 hours a day. Yeah, they let loose in the 18 hours a day they happen to be with us, the 6 hours a day they're at school. It's fine. But the reason why I think I get a nervous twinge now is because the secret is out. They know that Brian Green does the commercial break. And even though they don't talk about it out loud, they know, and I know they know.
That's right.
I know you know that they know. Yes. I know you know that that person knows that we do the commercial break.
Everybody knows.
And everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
The same reason why these conspiracy theories aren't true is because no one keeps a fucking secret. Even though one time one of the teachers was like, your secret is safe with me. She like whispered it in my ear, and I was like, what secret? What are we talking about? Who are we keeping it from? The commercial break.
Oh, please do keep that secret.
If you don't mind.
Keep going down that path.
Yeah, if you don't mind, if we could keep that a secret. But of course, no one keeps any secrets. And so I was in the school the other day and we go into one classroom and I was praying that the teacher doesn't say anything about, you know. So do you find you have any trouble because you're such an asshole on your show? with your children.
I heard that last episode.
Yeah, I heard that last episode. You were talking shit. And then we go into the other one and no, okay, everything's fine. I've dodged a bullet. They're great. Everything's good. They're doing wonderful. But then we get out. There's like this long hallway. It's just like a preschool, right? A preschool with a kindergarten. This is a long hallway. And we got to walk down the hallway and there's all these other parents waiting to have the parent-teacher conferences. So there is one couple that I don't know very well. I haven't met, you know, face-to-face. Maybe one time I shook a hand at a different event or something. But they are staring me down, Chrissy. And all I can think to myself is that those two have heard from someone, everyone, anyone, that Brian does the commercial break and he's the asshole who's causing, you know, like now they're blaming their children's activities on me.
It's because that bad influence. Yes,
that's right. Well, do you have any time to do the commercial? Do you have any time to teach your children when you're listening to the commercial break? If you don't kick them out, we're leaving. It's like that OnlyFans
the
lady.
OnlyFans, yeah, that's why you park across the street and walk in to pick them up.
That's right. Maybe if we had an OnlyFans, I know they're probably like, how does he make money with that show? It's so stupid. How does anybody listen? We don't.
No.
We have been trying to figure that out for 9 months ourselves. How exactly are we going to make a living doing this?
With a little dusting of love.
Yes.
And determination. And
love, determination, and spouses that make money and supportive family members that loan us cash.
Exactly.
Oh, thank God for them. Hey, I'm really excited because it's a TCB infomercial day, and today's infomercial guest is Joanna Hausman.
She's so funny. I mean, her Instagram was hilarious. I was checking it out, you know, a couple of days ago when I knew she was coming on.
Yes.
And it's everybody should subscribe. And we'll
I agree with you. Yeah. Joe House, J-O-H-A-U-S. You can find her on Instagram. She also has a YouTube channel. I don't think she's been very active on the YouTube channel in a little while, but it's called Joanna Rants. It's really funny. Joanna is different than some of our guests in the sense that she's not coming on to promote anything in particular. She's here because we are big fans of hers here at this house. Astrid, she's a Venezuelan American. And she does this kind of line of comedy where it's like, you know, what other people think about my complicated, you know, genetics or my complicated
ancestry type, where you grew up. Yeah,
that's right. It's like, you know, identity politics. This is identity comedy. And it's really fucking funny and spot fucking on. And oftentimes she'll do comedy from the perspective of someone that's close to a Venezuelan. Uh-huh. So, you know, talking about the food and stuff like that. So we find her to be really funny around the house. She also wrote for Tacoma FD, which was one of my favorite shows over the summer because it was the only show that I could actually download onto my phone from Spain for some reason.
Chickens.
Even with the being chased around the chickens while I'm downloading the latest episode of Tacoma FD. Because the VPN wouldn't work, and for some reason Tacoma FD just let me watch it. I don't know. They didn't. They were like, well, here, anywhere in the world, go ahead, watch it. Why do we care? Which is how everybody should think about it. But anyway.
Yeah.
And then she's got Hamster and Gretel on Disney Plus and Disney, which is really funny in and of itself. I mean, it's a kid's cartoon, but it's made for kids that are a little bit older. So I think that if you have children, you can probably get into it. But, you know, we asked her to come on because I identify so much with, and Astrid identifies so much with what she's talking about in her brand of comedy. It's just generally funny, but then it's also funny in a way that's specific and I connect with. And so I'm so happy to have
like
her on.
Like an insider joke kind of thing.
Yeah. Yep. And so do yourself a favor and check out Joanna Hausman. She's going to be on here in just a minute. Settle down, everybody. I can hear you all screaming. Okay, get to it, fucking Brian. All right, we're going to get to it, I promise. But I also wanted to share with the audience that TCB infomercials are now the guest days. So when you see TCB infomercial in the title, that means that we're having a guest. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a cute little name that we made up that you just figured out?
I know.
You found out about 12 minutes ago.
Approved.
Stamped. Thanks. Stamped after you said it.
Right.
It's like when Brian asks if they'll come on. If you'll come back on the show to my guests and we're recording.
Yeah, they're like every time. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, of course. Sure. Why not? I'll never talk to you again.
They're on the spot.
Yeah, they're already texting their agent. Never again.
What are you doing to my career?
That's right. I've always said, and I'll continue to say, you're either on your way up or on your way down when you meet the commercial break. And so we'll figure out which one that is with Joanna. We'll be back with her after these words.
Sorry to interrupt, but that's kind of my thing these days. If you're sick of me interrupting Brian, give us a call at 626-ASK-TCB3, leave us a voicemail, and maybe I'll interrupt you on the show instead. You'd love that, wouldn't you? You can also text us at 855-TCB-8383 and check out our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all things TCB. You know what's coming next. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at TCB Podcast. And now let's listen to some sponsors because they're the real ones around here.
This episode is sponsored in part by Prize Picks. Everybody out there in the podcast universe knows what a huge NFL fan I am and exactly how much I know about the sport. However, I'm getting into it, and I'll tell you why. Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play DFS. It's just you against the numbers. You don't have to be a professional football player or dating some famous singer to get in on the action. Prize Picks is allowing you to do it. And it's that time of year again. The big game right around the corner. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to turn every game-changing moment into 100x your money. With as little as 4 correct picks, you can turn $10 into $1,000. I just jumped on the Prize Pick apps last week, and I'm telling you what, it's super easy to do. Prize Picks is a really simple way. I can make my picks and then submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Now, I don't want to go into detail about who I picked because I make my choices based on a complicated spreadsheet, and then I have Blue bark twice at the right answer. So do us a favor. Go to prizepicks.com/TCB and use the code TCB for the first deposit match of up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/TCB. Make sure you use the code TCB for the first deposit match of up to $100. They're giving you free money. So no matter who wins or loses this big Sunday, you have an opportunity to be part of the big game in a big way and possibly win a little moolah. Who's going to argue with that? prizepicks.com/TCB. Use the code TCB and get a first deposit match of up to $100. Thanks, Prize Picks, for being a sponsor of The Commercial Break. And Joanna's here with us now. Hi, Joanna.
Hello.
How are you guys?
We're really good. We're really good. This is an exciting day here at the Green Household, I do have to tell you.
Yes,
the Boquete Green Household, because my wife has been such a my brother-in-law, my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, my other brother-in-law, and then many other Venezuelans that I know find you to be the top clam in the sea. They really you're the best, and they're so excited that you're here on the show.
Astrid's been fluttering around all morning.
She's like, excited.
That's so sweet.
I know.
And I feel so bad because I texted Astrid like, yo, is this happening today? Like, what's going on? I didn't
Joanna
quote
got,
any of it with kindness.
Joanna got rough rider. She was like, yo.
What's up?
Yo, bitch, I don't see you.
What the fuck?
She was got so scared. She was like, what happened? And I'm nothing, just to tell her that, you know, it's still on. We're still here. We'd love to have Joanna on the show. I have to say this first and foremost. You have one of the most hilarious Instagram posts I've ever seen, ever. And that is weird, hashtag weird girl. So I'd like to explain this. She's burying her head in the microphone.
I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, because just before you explain it, I recorded that angrily one day and then was like, I'm just gonna upload it, who cares?
Yeah.
And it went so viral. I was like, this is almost illegal. Like, I put so much work into other things, right, and this was just an angry rant. Anyway, Brian, sorry.
No, honestly, we've got a million views on one of our reels, and it's basically me saying, I think I'm more important than I actually am. It was like a throwaway line in an episode, and someone cut it up and put it on there. I got a million. I'm like, why? I didn't do anything. I wish you would listen to the fucking show. That's what I want. So Joanna has this post where she she's basically poking fun at these like super regular, rich, popular girls who are out there doing hashtag weird girl because they're eating a French fry or they put something on their head or they're, you know, doing something that most of us would do every 30 seconds. Like, I think all of us are weird when we're not on camera or in front of other people. We do weird shit. We're humans. That's what happens. But some people post it as if it's some kind of nomenclature that they're tied to that makes them extraordinary. And I think it's just, you know, popular girls sharing more, telling you they're more cool than they think they are. So
it's the appropriation of weird girl culture.
Agreed. Yeah.
It's appropriating what is it's not theirs.
What kind of reaction did you get from people?
So I uploaded the rant because I was like, I literally can't handle this anymore. If I see one more girl called Ashley with perfectly curled hair, just like dancing in a very normal, like bat mitzvah approved way in a grocery aisle, I will kill myself. So I uploaded this. I went to bed the next day. It was like at, 400,000 likes.
Jesus.
Like, wow. Not even views, likes. And I was like, what? And all of the comments are people like, thank you so much for telling our truth. This has been an unspoken problem on the internet. And I'm like, oh, the people, first of all, wow. Second of all, I didn't realize this was like hurting people in a way that most of the comments are really sincere.
And yes.
A lot of people were like, is this satire? And I'm like, what part? Do you think I'm pretending to be mad? What? There's too many layers.
Which one of your brain cells isn't firing off correctly? Which is like half the internet. The other thing that Chrissy and I are always going at is these girls and men, to be fair, boys and girls that are out there and they're in some state of disrobing or undress, and then they'll put some inspirational quote right below their nipples, and it's like, what in the
follow
fuck are
your
you?
Dreams.
Yeah, follow your dreams. Here's my boobs. What are you trying to do? I don't understand. What is the message there?
In the future, there's going to be like an art history class talking specifically about like this pastiche that has come out of the internet. Like how is this entertainment? One of my tweets, this woman just took, right?
Yeah.
And then she put half of her face on camera with no emotion. And then my tweet on top. And she just stared into the camera with some music. And it had like a bunch of views, like millions of views.
Holy
and
shit.
And it's her. Crazy. It's on her. I'm like,
it's her Twitter, not mine.
You're not. She's not also not adding anything. She's just.
Half her face.
Breathing. She's just breathing. I don't get it. I feel old, honestly.
I agree with you. Yeah, it's hard for me to wrap my head around some of this stuff. It really is. And there are people, too. Like, we get shares on our Instagram posts or on whatever, TikTok sometimes, and people are just, like, staring at the camera, and then they'll, like, point, this guy said it right. And it's like, did you add anything by saying that? Like, are you doing anything? But then the crazy part is he gets more fucking likes than I do.
Right.
And I'm like, what the hell?
I think that this interview is going to be unearthed in, like, 20 years. And someone's going to call me problematic for destroying these creators that do nothing. I'm going to be like, this is what all content is now. Right. Why were you being such a hater?
That's it.
Go in that direction.
That's it. I am positive of the 600 plus hours we have done of this show, 300 hours of that are going to be highly offensive in 5 years. Like in 5 years, we're definitely headed for cancel culture. What can I do? I don't know. I guess I'll be canceled at some point. It might be a rite of passage at this time. So you were born in England, but your mother was from Venezuela. Is that correct?
My two parents. My two parents are from Venezuela. They met in Venezuela, and then I'm trying to remember like what year, but it doesn't even matter. I wasn't around. They went to England to study. And I was just born there by accident during spring break. Like, I have no connection to England at all.
Yeah.
at all. And every time people ask me where I'm from, it's like, oh, so then you're English. So then where does the Venezuelan come in? I'm like 100% Venezuelan. But my parents decided to really ruin the simplicity of my future by just – and plus, Margaret Thatcher changed the law. I'm not even like literally British. If you're born in England after 1987, like your parents have to be English to be considered English. You're not. You're not considered.
There's no birthright. There's no birthright.
No, there's no birthright. So, like, I bloody hated it. And so, yeah, I wasn't even just born in England or London. I was born in Royal Leamington Spa, which is like, just sounds like a fake town full of like, which by the way is not a very fancy town, but it's called Royal Leamington Spa because the Queen would go to a spa there, like, or went once.
Yeah, she went there once, and they named it for you. Got a fantastic British accent for someone that's not
she's been
English.
Practicing. Yeah, she's been practicing. Life,
that's right.
I just wanted to prove Margaret Thatcher wrong. I should have had that British passport
all along.
You have no idea how problematic the Venezuelan passport is.
Yes,
you know, you're through your wife. You understand?
I totally understand, and I also have to say, as many passports as you can possibly get may behoove you in the future. So. You should go back to England and then you can get a passport. Do you have an English passport? Oh, would you like one?
I'm just going to show up and do this accent and they'll be like, bloody hell. Yes.
She looks like us. She talks like us. Let her in.
Let her in, please.
It's like our immigration policy. Do you look like us? Do you talk like us? All right, come on by. Oh, no.
If you don't, please go away.
The brown people. Yeah. I don't need you here causing trouble, taking my job. Did you have a job to lose in the first place, bud?
Probably not.
So are your parents are from Caracas, or that's where you grew up?
My mom was born in Havana. My dad was born in Caracas. Yeah. I like was there until I was like 6 or 7 and then came to the States until I was 13. And then while everyone was leaving Venezuela, because it was super, it was the murder and kidnapping capital of the world at that time. My parents were like, this is the perfect time
to go back
and have our teenage daughter go through high school. Oh, and it was crazy. We'd have like, I remember I'd go from having snow days in Boston to having like political days in Venezuela where
when
like,
they had
there's
rallies.
Tire fires everywhere.
Yeah.
Like rallies, tire fires, like, you know, violence. And my mom would be like, you can't go to school today.
Yeah. Sorry. Do you go back? Have you been back recently to Venezuela?
So no, I haven't been back in like 10 years.
And okay.
Part of it is because my dad is, for example, a persona non grata. He wrote an article in The Economist one time, and now the government wants to put him in jail because that's
not
how it works.
He's not a Chavista, I would assume.
No, not at all a Chavista. Not at all a supporter of the dictatorial regime. Yeah. And then my uncle is a journalist there. He was in jail for 2 years for being a journalist. And then I wrote an article, or it was sort of like a video essay. That's how the fancy people call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the New York Times, they don't call it a vlog. They call it a video essay, a video op-ed.
Yes. Well, they went to nice schools. They have to call it something fancy.
They can't tell their parents now. They just like edit vlogs.
Can't do that. I'm a vlogger, Dad.
Can't do it.
You went to Harvard.
So I did this like video essay on the political situation in Venezuela in like 2018, and now I'm also persona non grata. So like technically, maybe I could go back, but like I could be risking jail time.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't know. I think I like my life a little too much to go back at this point. I wish I could.
Yeah.
I absolutely wish I could. I still have a lot of family there.
So Astrid and I have had this debate. When I met Astrid, she lived in Venezuela. I had been a best friend of a Venezuelan here, repatriated here in the United States with his entire family. And they took me under their wing. Like I became, you know, pelones. I'm Mr. Gringo in the family and I'm Venezuelan. I'm the white Venezuelan, basically. And so that's how I met my wife, through that family. And then she moved to Switzerland and then the whole song and dance that she comes here. She hasn't been back since. But now, when I met her father at first, we were talking about, would we ever visit Venezuela? And her father, my father-in-law, says, I will. First of all, he says, "Ay, Brian," about everything.
Brian,
because he's like
stupid.
A true man. He's like MacGyver. He can fix anything with gum and floss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He built this whole studio, basically. Yeah. And so He could do it in a day, and I have a hard time like using a screwdriver. Yeah, and so he's always saying "Ay, Brian" under his breath, walking around the house. "Ay, Brian, ay, Brian." So he says to me, "Listen, I'm not going to let you come to Venezuela unless I am assured that I can keep you safe." Right. So when we met, he was like, "There's no way, Maduro, Guaido, the whole thing, all the political rallies, kidnappings, the economy's in the shit. You know, basically, the money's not even worth the paper that it's printed on. You cannot come down to Venezuela right now. Just speak one word of English, and you're in trouble in some places." And but recently, there has been some discussion that things are a little bit better in Venezuela, and maybe now is the time to go visit. And I see all these Americans who are running down there on eco-tourist trips, and they're running down there to, you know, go see the beautiful waterfalls and all this stuff. And I'm like, do these people not realize that Venezuela, like the majority of Venezuelans are probably still living a terrible life right now because of this dictatorial regime that's going on? And so I'm trying to triangulate whether or not I should actually be down there for any particular reason. Yeah,
you know what I love? I love that I was invited to this podcast under the guise that it was a comedy podcast. And here I am giving you very serious advice about life or death situations in a dangerous country.
It's the only reason that I had you on was like, I'm going to ask Joanna. And if she says it's okay, then I am going to go down.
Listen, I've heard this a lot. Okay. I've heard. Brian. Mira. Here's the thing. I mean, I think that this is my theory. This is like, you know, I am telling you gossip like from like a secondhand source. This is like me giving you advice. Do you know what I mean?
It's coming from your mother.
From what I've heard. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Of course. And from a WhatsApp group with 70 people with like too many forwards.
I'm in 40 of them. I get it. Yeah. I'm in 40 of them. Yes.
So what I've heard is that Venezuela and the Venezuelan government right now, they're like, you know how we were being really oppressive? And that's not really working for us. So let's just be oppressive to people that speak out against us and then pretend everything's fine to the with the tourists.
Yes.
And sort of like show off this this image of like wealth and that everything's going great so that people feel good coming here, but we will put you in jail if you say anything bad. So it's kind of like more like the China model than the Cuba model. Mm. So they're like kind of like switching it up. They're in their like China era.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I do think it's less unsafe, but it is definitely unsafe for people that are outspoken.
Yes.
And if you just keep your mouth shut, Brian,
and go to the waterfall.
I think you'll be fine.
I have 600 hours of content. And I don't know if I've always said the right thing about Venezuela. So it makes – and now I've had Joanna Hausman on. I'm on the blacklist for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. You should publish this after you go if you do go.
I'll publish it as I'm walking through immigration offices, as I'm walking through customs.
Oh, good. That's a brilliant time. That's brilliant timing.
When you come to the United States, when you come back to the United States, what sets you off kind of on this? You had this wonderful – YouTube Joanna Rants. What mm-hmm. First of all, how did you get like what when did you decide I'm gonna go in front of camera, I need to be a personality and be a comic and write the stuff? Have you always felt like that was something that you wanted to do?
I always knew I wanted to get into some iteration of comedy. Growing up back home, I didn't realize comedy was this very, you know, complex career that has sort of like comprises of many different elements.
Yeah.
So when I came here, I was like, oh, I want to be a playwright. I don't know. And then I went
playwright?
To Second City. Yeah. I was like, what's something that is funny and that I can write and act in that isn't so impossible, like television?
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess maybe playwright, which is still very hard. I don't know what I was thinking. but then I went to Second City right after college, and it was like, oh, there's this whole type of like, there's sketches, there's improv, there's stand-up. Like, I didn't know these things, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There's late-night shows, there's, you know. And I was like, okay, I know what I sort of want to do. And I've always, since I moved around so much and my identity is so utterly complicated and just existing is sort of like, I have to explain it to people.
Yeah.
Like, why are you? I always use comedy.
We just spent the last 15.
Yeah, we literally just spent the entire time. Thank you for setting me up for this.
You're welcome.
So I think comedy for me has always been a way to, like, I don't know, just go about the world in a way that makes more sense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I started doing stand-up, and then I got hired to be basically a glorified assistant for this channel called Flama on Univision. Mm-hmm. It was like Univision's attempt to do like a college humor.
Yeah.
And we were working with all these creators and stuff. And then my boss was I actually asked my boss to just let me borrow the studio for a day with my friend Chris, and just we're just going to make a video and see if it works. And we published a video where I rant about the misconceptions of being Latino, because on the page, I didn't feel like I would belong. Like, one of the reasons I didn't push for myself for a while was because, you know, I look like an Irish barmaid and I was born in Royal Leamington Spa. Right. My last name is Houseman. I belong in a shtetl. And like, you know, I was like, no one's going to believe that I'm Venezuelan. Like, this is just going to be. So then I made a video about how ridiculous like our assumptions are about Latinos. That went viral. And that sort of like gave my boss sort of the reassurance that maybe I could have some interesting videos and points of view. And then I just started publishing videos, and they did very, very well. And I just got very granular and specific with my existence.
Yeah,
so, I love that.
And here we are.
Yeah,
and here we are. This brought us here.
We always say, last stop is the commercial break.
That's
Chrissy and I like to think you're either on your way up or on your way down when you visit the commercial break. So congratulations either way.
I think I'm at the peak. I'm at the apex.
This is the top.
Yes.
I think one of the things that I like about your humor, that I connect with about your humor, because I am, because we do have a mixed family here, is that there are so many misconceptions. The identities of Latin Americans get tied up with one another, and it's in the most mm-hmm. ridiculous of ways. We were just talking about this before we came on air.
Right.
When we see someone else, when someone meets Astrid and they say, oh, you're Venezuelan, do you know Paco from Maracaibo? It's like, no, she doesn't know fucking Paco from Maracaibo. First of all, like any other human being, her knowledge of other human beings is limited to her circle of influence. Like, she doesn't know Paco from fucking Maracaibo. But it's the ridiculous nature of how some people think, and I can only take on the American perspective because that's where we are. The U.S. perspective. I also learned from my wife that it's wrong to call ourselves Americans because they are also Americans, Venezuelans. Was your brand of humor like spurred on by kind of this, I don't want to say identity crisis, but this weird lumping in, everybody thinks everything about the same, about Central Americans and South Americans are all the same, and you know, they just kind of lump everybody together. So many misconceptions, and it must feel uncomfortable sometimes to be in those situations where you could derive a lot of humor.
Yes. And I need to be fully honest here. I do know Paco from Maracaibo, so this is a little awkward. But having said that,
I owe him $60. I'm not going to tell you what for, but just tell Paco to calm down.
Okay. I'll talk to Paco. I'll text him on my WhatsApp chat after this. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think what sort of shocked me as I was making comedy was how many people felt represented in someone like me being like, hey, like I'm from Venezuela and I am also Latina in my own way. Like, you don't know how many people were like, yeah, man, I am an Afro-Nicaraguan and I totally get you. I'm a Korean, a Peruvian and I totally understand. It's like, I didn't realize that me being like almost so unapologetic on how specific my identity is actually would make people feel like relieved.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, someone's doing it. Like,
yeah.
Someone's telling these people that we're not all Sofia Vergara copy pasted.
Right.
We are, you know, we're very different. And I do think it's changed. I think that when I started doing internet comedy, dude, that was like, I hate saying this, I was 10 years ago, okay?
I know.
I couldn't even say it.
Yeah.
It was 10 years ago. And that era of the internet was really different.
Totally.
And even the barriers to entry to make content on the internet was very different. Mm-hmm. Now you have like editing software on your freaking phone. I see Venezuelans in the middle of like the Amazon uploading videos with their capybaras.
Yes.
And their chihuahuas. Yes. And so like, there was a time where it wasn't that easy to access the internet and publish and edit. And now I think there's like more variety out there. But right when I began,
these big companies like BuzzFeed and College Humor, they were making all these really funny sketches, and sort of like no one was talking about like, oh, there's like other types of people that could be doing this and be very specific about their content. And I remember I made a video called The Venezuelan Birthday Song. And if you had told me a year before, like, you're going to make an internet video.
Hold on one second, yes. Because my kid was born in July and Astrid's just finishing up the birthday song now. Just to let you know.
Oh, now? If you probably can wait for her, it might be another 2 hours. Right.
Fucking unbelievable.
Dude, the Venezuelan. Okay, I'm so glad you know this, Brian. Okay,
of course
so
I do.
Okay, the Venezuelan. But Chrissy, I don't know if you know this.
I do not know about the Venezuelan birthday song.
It is. I'm not fucking with you. It is, I think, 9 minutes long.
It's crazy.
Can you imagine?
It's insane.
You sit there.
There's no candle that can outlast it. So don't light the candles till you're halfway through. Down. Yes.
You sit there for 9 minutes and people are screaming and clapping. It's not even like happy, but it's like, it's like you're being exercised.
I love it.
So if you had told me a year before, like, you're going to make a video, you're going to hire opera singers, you're going to hire a cast and crew, and you're going to shoot a video called The Eternal Venezuelan Birthday Song, I would have been like, who would watch that, though?
Yeah.
No one's going to watch that. It had 8 million views in 24 hours because they're, when you're on the internet, you do have your audience. The more specific you get, the better
That's
results
true.
You have.
Yeah.
So it sort of showed, I think, a lot of – And many other Latino creators that came out in that era did the same. But I think it showed people like, oh, you don't have to be general market. You don't have to be, hi, I am actually
Ashley.
The first internet video I did was called Middle Class White Chick that I made with my friend. Because I was like, I guess I can make fun of what I look like.
Yeah.
And it didn't do well. And then, you know, obviously, because I didn't know what I was talking. I was like, Uggs? what rhymes with Uggs? Let's make a song about Uggs. But I feel like that showed people that, you know, the audience is out there. It's very diverse. You can get really granular. So
there's riches and now, niches, bitches. That's what they say. And
there's riches and
niches,
Sam,
bitches.
Did you just
yes.
come up with that?
I did. Well, I've been saying it for a long time, but I just said it out loud.
Wow, I love that.
So I also believe that while a lot of people probably identify very much with what you're saying, like they say, like, you know, hey, I'm Afro-Nicaraguan and, you know, thank you for sharing your complicated story because mine's complicated, you know, seems complicated once you get out there in the wild. But I also think that there genuinely is a thirst by people to learn more about other cultures. Like, hey, I'm just kind of dumb about this stuff. And now mm-hmm. that I see it, comedy is the
unifying.
Yeah, it's a thread. It's an ability to, when people are laughing and learning, there's something really cool about that mix, I think. And that's why I really appreciate satirical humor and people who do it well. And I think you do it really well. And then there is Tacoma FD. I want to ask you about Tacoma FD. Let me tell you a story. I went to Astrid is Spanish, like a lot has, you know, her dad is Spanish, like a lot of Venezuelans are partly Spanish. So we go to Spain often because that's where we have some extended family also. So we went to Spain for, I don't know, a long time, a month in the last year in the summer. And we went to a series of Airbnbs that seemed like the world's most terrible Airbnbs that looked really pretty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you show up, there's no internet, but they have an indoor pool and you're like, great, but I can't fucking call anybody. Like that kind of shit. So
weren't you out with the chickens, like,
yes,
trying to get internet?
Yes. Then there was... I was on some Spanish hillside and I was trying, it was the middle of the night, trying to get internet from the neighbor, and there were chickens chasing me. I didn't even know chickens were nocturnal, but there you go. So in a mad dash to get anything familiar that I could watch at night, when we had internet service, I downloaded one of the only things that was available to me, which was Tacoma. And I watched all of it and I loved it. It was so stupid and fun. I just loved every minute of it. I thought
oh
it was
my
great.
God.
How did you write? You have Hamster and Gretel on mm-hmm. Disney Plus. You've mm-hmm. written for Stephen Colbert. You've written for Tacoma FD. How did you get mixed up with those guys? Is it because you were part of Upright Citizens Brigade or?
Dude, I still don't understand. Because, I mean, I love those guys. So the Broken Lizard guys, yeah. You know, they've been around for forever. They're, you know, icons in comedy. But, like, it, you know, they're very different than me.
obviously. Yes. Like they're dude comedy, and they're shows about a bunch of firefighters in the rainiest city in America, Tacoma, and it's. And, you know, there's a bunch of dudes called Mike in the writer's room. I think there's more Mikes than women. Steve Lemmy, who is one of the show creators, is actually from Argentina. Oh. And they were looking for a new writer. I think they were specifically looking for a female writer. And in the interview, I guess they read my sample. And then in the interview, I started like making fun of Steve Lemmy because he's Argentinian. I was like, oh, what now, Steve? You think you're like all the shit, right? Because you're from Argentina. And he was like, wait, what? Why are you tagging me? Yeah. I'm actually going to be your
boss. Yeah. You realize that, don't you?
Yeah. I was like, dude, Argentinians. And I started, you know, I started razzing him a little bit. Yep. And I don't know if that's the reason. I'd like to believe it is. Ironically, it's actually, I think a lot of it was this sort of connection to Latin culture. A lot of people don't know that his dad is from Argentina.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, and we still to this day sort of like, you know, when we text, I call him boludo. So that is sort of like a secret in, I think I had nice. To Tacoma.
Yeah. What a fun show to watch. I mean, it is mm-hmm. certainly white guy down the middle working class comedy, right?
Yes.
But it is also pretty funny at times. I found myself laughing out loud.
They are such nice people. Like, I was overwhelmed because, like, that was out of my comfort zone in many ways. And they were just so nice yeah. and sweet. And I had a really great time working on that show, and I learned a lot. They really taught me a lot about structure and how to work in a writer's room. And you know, we did this during the pandemic. It was like, you know, it was all remote, and we were able to make a show, and obviously they bore the brunt of it as the creators and yeah. executive producers, but they were able to make a show in the middle of a pandemic.
Crazy.
Following the rules. Yeah. They're badass. Yeah. yeah.
And not to get too deep about Tacoma FD, but I do have to say this, that it's very funny, but it's very sweet also. Like at the end of the day, I don't feel like anything is like, you know, there's like mean-spirited comedy out there, which can be good mm-hmm. in and of itself. You know, that can be a great deal of fun also, that dark, you know, kind of mean, mm-hmm. pokey in the belly kind of thing. But there's something very sweet about Tacoma FD, and I just found it to be great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my kids are going to kill me if I don't ask this question. How do you – you're working on Hamster and Gretel. Tell us about this show.
So Hamster and Gretel created by Dan Palmemeyer, who was a co-creator of Phineas and Ferb. He was married to a Venezuelan woman. So I swear to God, this is a constant.
Wow.
This is literally my life.
We should start a club. White guys, white guys, Venezuelan white guys.
he said the same about that you did, which is like, I have a Venezuelan family. They adopted me.
They did.
And I don't know what they say yeah. half the time, but they go, I then. So Dan and I connected for the same reason you and me are connecting right now.
Yeah.
He watched my content like several years ago, and we connected and we're friends. And he, during the pandemic again, made a small like 8-minute short about a girl with superpowers and her brother that doesn't get any and a talking hamster and all this. And Disney greenlit it. And then he was like, do you want to head write this? I was
wow.
like, I've never worked in animation before, Dan. And he's like, that's fine. He'll figure it out. And he'll learn. So I've been head writing and now co-executive producing the show for 3 years. We're almost done with season 2. It's been really fun.
Oh,
we incorporated a Venezuelan. Thank you. We incorporated a Venezuelan mom as, you know, sort of like a cultural linchpin in it. And she is like, you know, she's like our Astrid.
Yeah.
It's been really cool to add even like, I hate, you know, this is like a sincere comment, but I hate being sincere because I'm a comedian and it's against my nature.
It's hard to swallow. Yeah.
I may combust, but it's actually really heartwarming to see like characters, because the grandma is based on my grandma. Then, you know, they eat arepas. They have reina pepiadas. They have like tequeños. You see, like a lot of, you know, a lot of these like cultural like details are sprinkled in. We don't make a big deal out of it in every episode.
Yeah.
But it's just there. It's just part of who these characters are. And it feels really nice to, you know, going from convincing my boss to let me work, like, you know, record and yell in a studio for an hour and uploading onto YouTube to then like incorporating these elements into an animated show has been cool. Now I will combust.
Self-destruct.
Really cool. And then your target audience is up and coming, blossoming kids with big brains that are, you know, just exploding. And then they're soaking up these details that hopefully will make a difference in the future and how they think about different cultures. And I think that's really cool. Now the question is, do you work for the Disney Corporation, or do you work for a production company that then sells to the Disney Corp? You don't have to tell me the details if you can't, but I'm just curious to how all that works.
I work for Disney, but I actually don't. Okay. I feel like I'm an accountant now, but I have a loan out company, and I have a company and they hired my company. So technically I work for my company that works for Disney.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So here's the question. Since we are family, can you get us into Disney World for free? Because it costs $27,000 per child, and I have 30 of them.
First of all, I think I can.
Oh,
as of I'm not even kidding.
Oh my god!
As of like a month ago, I think I can.
Wow.
So yes, and I'm being honest. If you guys do come here, just seriously let me know. I hate going to Disney World or land.
What?
But I'll go.
Yeah, we're close to the world. We're over here in Atlanta, so we're close to the Disney World. But you can come, and you and Astrid would kick it off swimmingly. There's something about and I know that, like, you know, we spent a good portion of this particular interview talking about how you're Venezuelan, and you're probably so much more than just Venezuelan. But I find that's what connects me to you. That's why when I watch your brand of comedy, I'm connected to it because I understand it. And tequeños are the love of my life, and I haven't met an arepa that I dislike. And
Reina
Pepiada is lovely. And the only thing I dislike is that fucking Christmas roll that y'all make, whatever that shit is.
Oh, the pan de jamón?
Oh, the pan de jamón. Oh, no, not pan de jamón. The other one. I love pan de jamón. That's good. It's the other one where you put the meat and the mayonnaise and the pickles and the whatever.
Oh,
it is.
The ayaca?
Ayaca!
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
Do you like ayacas?
I didn't like ayacas until it became sort of a symbol of nostalgia.
Okay.
Like when I was in Venezuela, I was like, get this actual lump of trash away from me.
Yes.
And now I'm like, I love this. It's a little present. It's wrapped. I love it so much, you know?
So here's a funny story. So we go to box something up and send it to Venezuela. And there's a shipping company owned by a Venezuelan guy, Tiny. You like go to this self storage area, and then you back your truck up, and then there's a guy in the self storage with a light bulb hanging out, and he's taping stuff, and he's like, "Don't worry, brother, I'll get it to you." You know, and you're like, "Okay, all right." So he goes, and they Astrid and him connect because, of course, they're Venezuelan. He does, you know, he mainly speaks Spanish. He goes, "You have to wait here 1 second," and we're okay, fantastic. It's like the second year that she's here. He goes into a freezer that's sitting on this storage floor, the size of this room. He opens up the freezer and he takes out 100 ayacas. It's September, and he takes out 100 ayacas in a box, and he puts it in the back of our car. And
how big are these?
They're like, they're corn husks. They look like they're made with
and
a corn
to be
husk.
Clear, ayacas are not eaten in any other time other than Christmas.
No,
it is a Christmas food.
And that's the only time that you eat it, or the only time you should eat it. And then on top of that, my mother-in-law comes, and now we clear the entire kitchen. There's a picnic table 7.5 feet long, and we're making 100 more ayacas. And I'm like, who the fuck do you think is coming to dinner? Who's going to eat all these ayacas? I have ayacas from 2012 in my fucking freezer.
Oh my God.
I swear to God I do, and I just like them so much. But
I'm sorry.
Yeah. But
I'm so sorry. I know how it is. And at least I have like the nostalgia element of like childhood. But if as an adult I was introduced to this and I had to just tolerate it, I would resent it.
I would resent the idea.
I dislike it. Yeah. And even my kids dislike it. They try and make it with different things so that they can try and please me and appease me. And I'm like, I just don't like even the word Ayakas turns me off. So let's just skip it. Everything else is lovely. Please bring it on. But the Ayakas. But what I wanted to say is there is something about the Venezuelan culture that like the Rafael's family mm-hmm. took me in when things were tough with my own right. family. And for years, I just felt such love. There was no judgment, such love. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were judging me behind my back right. and speaking
for
Spanish.
Sure. That's how we do it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. But when I learned to speak Spanish, they went into the other room. So, and then there's something so loving
right.
and wonderful and warm mm-hmm. about the culture. And I wonder about why that is and why my Irish in the Venezuelan culture, at least around my house, you show up 4 hours late for a party. So if you want it to start at 8, you have to say you need to be there by 4. And then yeah. they will not leave until 4 the next afternoon, no matter yeah. how much you try and telegraph to them that the
nope.
party has been over for a long time.
Nope.
If a Venezuelan that you know comes within 300 miles of your house, they are staying at your house for an indefinite amount of time. It doesn't matter how many other Venezuelans happen to be staying at your house at the same time. And they will always greet you with a hug and a smile. It's a wonderful culture, and I'm so happy to be a part of it because I am Irish. And in my Irish Catholic culture, we have a game. Yes, we have a game. It's who can get out of the party faster right. without saying anything to anybody. It's the Irish goodbye.
Baby.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the Irish goodbye. I would love to have you on again. We've already gone 45 minutes. I know I'm wasting a bunch
wait
of your
to
time.
See your
oh my god! It just happened.
Project.
I know. What's happening?
No, I feel like.
We can go on.
I feel
forever.
Like we just started talking.
I know. This is
guys.
A...
What?
Yeah.
No.
You want to keep going? I'll keep going.
Oh, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Christy. I just wanted to say I loved this conversation so much. I want to be the third host. So
absolutely.
I'm moving in.
Anytime.
I'm moving in.
Come on in.
Yep,
don't, you
right.
have a, don't you have a podcast? Did
when
you restart
here,
a podcast?
You're staying here, too.
Yeah.
You're staying
you
at the
can
house.
Stay here.
Yeah. I'm going to stay there for an indefinite amount of time.
Yep.
Yeah, I have a podcast called Hyphenated with Cuban-American comedian Jenny Lorenzo. Yes, check out Hamster and Gretel. We really want that season 3. So the more you guys watch it, the more probable it is. And I'm working on some other projects that I,
nice.
According to contracts, can't talk about.
Don't talk about it. We don't want to get anybody yep. in trouble here. We're already blacklisted from Venezuela. We don't want to get blacklisted from Hollywood also.
Too many places.
Or from Disney. Yeah.
You just got an in.
I just got
yes.
a free ride to Disney. Now I got to go. Joanna, you are welcome back anytime. Astrid will be texting you in that WhatsApp group. As a matter of fact, let's have you back when you can talk about what's next
yes,
for
please.
You.
Awesome.
We
let's do it.
Love you. Thank you, Joanna.
Oh, my
we appreciate
God.
It.
Gracias, primo.
Oh,
gracias.
Give us your
gracias,
Instagram primo. Handle. Give us your.
Oh,
yeah.
yes. My Instagram handle is at Joe House, JoHaus.
Yes.
Please follow me. And we can, and you know what? Whoever wants to join my family WhatsApp chat, you're also welcome to join it. It's all in Spanish. And all we do is talk about Brian's. All the Bryans
mm-hmm.
Of the world.
That's what everybody does. Bryans are just bad news altogether.
We love him. We love him. Pero ay, Brian. He leaves parties without saying goodbyes.
I don't anymore. The Venezuelans cut that shit out real quick. You can't sneak out of a door when Venezuelans are there. Where are you going? You don't have to take. You need to take. Take some arepas. Okay. We love you, Joanna. We'll talk
Thank
to you,
you
soon.
So
love you
so much.
Guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Ugh, finally. I feel like I was waiting forever for my turn to talk. Now that I have you, go to tcbpodcast.com to find all of our audio and video content and follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and on TikTok at tcbpodcast. Want it to be your turn to talk? Call us and spill the tea at 626-ASK-TCB3 and you may hear your voice on the show. You can also text us your tea at 855-TCB-8383 and boy, do we love to hear it. Anyway, take a listen to our sponsors and let's get back to the show.
Wow, now I feel kind of bad that I just, like, I was trying to wrap it up and Joanna's like, wait, we're just getting going. And
I know.
I'm like, oh, shit. You know.
She's amazing.
She was so
spectacular,
fucking funny.
If you
spectacular,
will.
Not amazing. We're gonna
yeah, we're trying to get away from
delete
that word.
The word amazing from this show because it's amazing how many times I've said that word in this time. But Joanna really was fun. Remember when we had Felicia Day on?
Yes.
I thought Felicia Day was so much fun, and Joanna had that similar vibe to her. And yeah, we were just connecting, but I often feel like with our guests, it's kind of like when I was on the dating scene. I broke up with you before you could break up with me. Like, I saw it coming, so I just said it early.
Right.
You
didn't want her to say
I'm going
to
hurt you, now you don't hurt me. Yeah. I didn't want Joanna to say, well, it's been fun, but the last 13 minutes have been fun, but I do have to go. Which I think is...
What is that? What? Somebody's calling me from the other room.
Blue's barking. I got to go. Landscapers are here.
Which is all true.
Oh my God, those landscapers. Holy shit. He came again today. Like 2 days after he last came. This time I had to text him. I had to be like, Juan, listen. We have no grass. You cutting it is not helping it grow. It's the middle of winter. It's 22 degrees out at night. You do not need to cut my mud. You don't. My mud doesn't need cutting.
I was thinking that the other day.
I know. He's just making dents. He's just rolling his heavy machinery over it. And I'm like, dude, first of all, second of all, I thought we talked about 12 to 4. Like, those are the no-no times. Those are no-nos, and then you have go-go times, right? And I know, I realize you actually do work for a living, and I sit here and talk shit about you while you do that. But if you could, please. He probably knows about the commercial break,
yeah,
and
he knows.
That's why.
Everybody
knows. Everybody in the school, the landscapers, the pool guy, they all figure it out because it's 2024 and it's not that hard.
Right.
I'm waiting for the people at Starbucks to realize that I have the commercial break, and then I'll have to go to a different Starbucks because I'll be embarrassed to go in there. We had a babysitter that came in, and then Astrid loves the commercial break. She loves the fact that we have the commercial break. So I come out the other day from the studio, we're wrapping up, and then I hear them talking about the commercial break, and the babysitter was like, the lady helps with the kids was like, oh, I'm going to take a listen today on the way home. And I'm like, no, please don't.
It took us a long time.
It took a long time to find a good one. You're good. I don't want to check it out. It's called Smartless.
Right.
But Joanna was wonderful. I hope we can have her back. Now I got a free trip to Disney. Or do you think she just said yes because like that those times when I asked them to come back and they have to say
yes? She seemed sincere.
She did.
I know. And now you're going to hold her to it.
I'm going to hold her to it, and I'm going to make her come to my house so that we can all go to Disney World together. It's going to be like, what did I get myself into?
You're like, you and Astrid all hit it off right away. We'll all go together. You'll stay here.
Yeah. Hey, you take the kids. We're going on Space Mountain. You're Venezuelan. You're all the same. Don't worry about it. You're just like their mother. But I don't know. Maybe that one kid might have a total meltdown.
That's true.
Yeah. One of our kids doesn't like anybody but me, apparently. Mm. All right. Okay. Uh-huh. Enough fun for one day. Stop it. Stop it, everybody. Go home. Turn it off. It's enough already. So thanks to Joanna Hausman. Joe House on Instagram. Johaus. We'll put a link in the description so that you guys can follow her on her Instas. And watch Tacoma FD. I'm serious. Have you ever seen the show?
I haven't. It is funny.
It is funny.
And endearing.
Like it is endearing. Yeah. It's sweet. It's like got this sweet undertone to it where you're like, oh, okay, that's cool. I like that. You know, it's not everybody's brand of humor, but I think you'll find at least some of it funny. There's a lot of slapstick stuff in there too, which I'm like a 3-year-old. If it's slapstick, I'm all about it. I like a good pratfall every once in a while. In case you couldn't tell.
No.
In case you couldn't tell.
No.
All right. So, TCBpodcast.com. That's where you go. You find out more information about Chrissy and I. You can watch all the video. You can listen to all the audio right there from one location. Also, get your free piggy fronting sticker. We're sending them to you. No problems. No pluses about it, kids. We'll be happy to send them off to you if you hit the contact us button on the website. The drop-down menu says, I want my free sticker. You give us your physical address, and then we'll send it off to you. In, 7 to 12 months, you'll get it. Don't worry.
No problem,
no
boss.
No problem, boss. We'll just start sending you one every 2 days. See how you feel about it. Also, 1-626-ASK-TCB and the number 3. That's 1-626-ASK-TCB and the number 3. You can text us questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. You can also leave us a voicemail. Yeah, please. For the love of the Lord. Or, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. If you think of an interesting guest you might like us to have, we have an amazing booking agency, and their tagline is, your wish is our command. And so I said, President Biden and President Trump on the same interview.
Yeah. Head
to head. And they said, well.
Commercial break.
Yeah. They said, well, within reason.
Right.
Yeah. We have a within reason clause in our contract where we can't ask for names that are too big. So text us, leave us a voicemail, add the commercial break on Instagram, TCB podcast on TikTok, and youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. This is going to be a change of day in your life. All right, Chrissy. I suppose that's all that I can do for today.
I think so.
But I will tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
And I'll tell you best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I do say, we will say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Your patties.